I'd like you to take your scriptures, if you will, and turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 5. Book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 5. We had a number of songs that we sang. Walk Worthy was one of the songs, and if you then the footsteps of Jesus and Passion for Thee. And as we were going through some of these songs, the idea is that we're to have a passion for our Lord. We're to walk with Him. We're to have an intimate, close relationship with Him. And today, we are going to look at a man who had a close walk with God. By the way, that's what God wants to have with you, is a close walk with Him. You can see this in Genesis chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. It says, "And Enoch lived 60 and 5 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. After that, he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 60 and 5 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." This is one of three places that you'll find Enoch in Scripture. The other one, which we'll see a little later on, will be in Hebrews chapter 11, and then final one in the book of Jude. The issue that God has given us anyways, especially when we're talking about Enoch and a man who walked with God, you're going to find that the theme that permeates Scripture is that God wants His people, you and I, to walk with Him. I'll give you just some examples. You can go and you can see this, and you don't have to turn there. There's a number of scriptures I'm just going to open up with, and so I just want you to concentrate what's there. But God said to Abraham, "I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect." And so God expected Abraham way back then to walk with Him. That was part of the purpose. He was called out of this world unto Himself to do this. We can go on and we can also see in the law of Moses, it says that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And so God expected the people of Israel, when they were going through the wilderness, as well, He was going to test them. Make sure, are you walking with me or not? He also says in the book of Leviticus, as we're going a little further on in the Old Testament, He says, "Ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God." Again, He expects His people to walk with Him. Again, in Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. I don't have the whole verse up there, but the same idea. "If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will." In other words, again, under the Mosaic law, there were conditional promises. But the big thing that He wanted His people to do, He wanted His people to walk with Him. We can go on to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33 says, "Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live and that ye may be it may be well with you." So notice what He's saying. If you walk with Him, then it'll be well with you. Now, that was under the Mosaic law, but I'll tell you what. If you walk with God, you're going to know blessings that you don't experience if you're not walking with Him as a believer. And let me put it into context here. I'm talking about believers. You understand that you're a sinner. You understand that God saved you by His grace. You place your trust in Him, and you have this new life. It does not necessarily mean that you are walking with Him. I did this on Wednesday. I was speaking of getting married. And how many of you that are married remember when you got married? How many forgot all about it? No, you probably remember. You remember when you were there and you said, "I do," and you got married. And the very moment that you said, "I do," you are in this relationship. And I'll tell you what, you probably had a great relationship with your spouse at that point in time, just love and starry eyes and all that. And then kids come along and or whatever trials come there. And if you're not cultivating the marriage relationship, you may not be walking in agreed as you ought to be with your mate. Is that not true? That can happen. And marriages can fall into disrepair. It doesn't mean that you're not married. It means that if you're not cultivating the very thing you're supposed to do, walking with them and communing with them and doing the things that God has instructed, I'll tell you, they can fall apart. Well, that's what was happening with here in the scriptures. God says, I want to have a intimate relationship with you. And so he said, even from Abraham and then even in the Mosaic law, walk in my laws, walk with me. He says it again in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 6. He says, therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. He wants us to walk with him. He says it again, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. He says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to love him, to serve him. You know, those are the things. But Israel didn't always walk as they were supposed to. Now, there's a number of passages. I'm not going to give you this hundreds of them. I just kind of picked and gleaned a few. This is one of them. He says, and yet they would not hearken, or Israel would not hearken unto their judges. They went after other gods. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in. In other words, their fathers once walked as they ought to with God, but they stopped doing this and they started walking after other things. You go further on into the book of Kings, which is further into Israel's history, and it says Israel walked in the statutes of the heathen and did secretly those things which were not right against the Lord their God. Is it possible for people who know the things about God to walk secretly in things that are not right? Is that possible for Christians today who are supposed to walk after their Savior, who are generally bona fide, born again, and yet in their lives to be secretly walking in things that no one else, you know, but no one else knows? Well, that's what Israel was doing. They knew what they ought to be doing, but they weren't walking as they ought. They were walking in the statutes of the heathen, as the unredeemed around them. In the New Testament, Christians are told to walk in the Spirit. So if you're born again, one of the things that God wants you to do is walk in the Spirit. He says, there are therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's God's plan for you, is that don't walk after the flesh. And that means you're going to be yielding your members to Christ, and that you're going to be walking after the Spirit. And that's one of the walks that he wants us to do. He says in another part of Scripture, he says you're to walk by faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And so there's not everything you're going to see and understand, but you're still going to walk by faith if you're a believer. He also says that we're to walk worthy. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Do you get the theme? Walk. You know, God's plan for his children, walk in love. We're to walk in love. Love toward one another as well as toward the Lord. He says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. He goes on, not only walk in love, but we're to walk unto all pleasing, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Walk, walk, walk. You know, that's what he wants us to do. Walk in the light. He says, but if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus Christ. His Son cleanses us from all sin. And then we're to walk as Jesus walked. He that saith he abideth in himself also. So to walk even as he walked. Do you get this one? He's talking about that you and I, if we're saved, we're to abide in Christ and then we're to walk just as Jesus walked. That's what he's asking us to. He's given us the equipment, the power to do this. We're to walk in truth. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. The Lord were to return today, and he sat near dinner table, would he find you walking in truth? And all these things that we just saw. Well, today, we're going to look at a man, an example that God has given us, the example that he gave in the Old Testament of walking with him. So you're going to need your scriptures for the rest of this because there's no more slides except that one you're going to look at. And I want you to, if you're not there, Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. The man that we're talking about that walked with God here is found in verse 22, and Enoch walked with God. His name appears in this chapter 5 here in a list of descendants from Seth. He is the seventh from Adam. If you go Adam and then to Seth, you know, Seth was not Adam's firstborn, but, you know, Adam to Seth, he counted out, he is the seventh from Adam. And in this list, notice in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, and this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them. In other words, God made man in his image, and he blessed man. Well, you know, men didn't continue to walk with him. Verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. Now, Adam, you know, because of the fall, after the fall, here he has a son, and he's talking about his son, and it's not. Notice the image. Adam was made after the image of God, and now Adam's son is after Adam's image and in his likeness. And, you know, that's that fallen, you know, we have that fallen nature passed on to man. And we can see that. In fact, all that was going on around them, as we saw last week, we saw some of the degeneration of the society. We're going to look at that in a second. But here we find Seth, and then Seth begets children. And it's very interesting what happened, because in verse 3 it says, and Adam lived. Drop down to verse 5, the last three words of verse 5, and he died. And verse 6, and Seth lived. And you drop down to verse 8, and he died. And then you look at verse 9, and Enoch lived. And then you go down to verse 11, the last three words, and he died. You see, something tragic happened. Because of sin, men not only lived for a time, but then all men died. The most incredible thing, though, in the very midst of this whole category of the 1,651 years that are listed from Adam and Eve, from the creation of time, all the way to the flood, right dead center in the middle of it, there's this man that is raised up of this Sethite line, and he walked with God. And it says here in verse 24, Enoch walked with God and he was not. For God took him right in the middle of this where there's death and despair and hopelessness. We find hope that there's a possibility that there's something. In fact, we can see something else about this man here. It says that this man, Enoch, in other words, he walked with God. Apparently, he pleased God. In fact, if I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11. When you get there, verse 5, because we find a passage, it kind of gives us a little more information about this man, Enoch. This man who walked with God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. You know, here's a man that walked with God and he was not. And in this passage, it says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Did you know that walking with God is pleasing with him? There are only two men in all of Scripture that ever said that he pleased God. Enoch, and six times for the Lord Jesus Christ. The only places you'll ever find that someone pleased God. Now, you'll find later on, if you read through that, you'll find Solomon's prayer pleased God. And you'll also read that our praise and our thanksgiving and so forth is pleasing. But about a man being pleasing to God, you only find Enoch and then the Lord Jesus Christ, God's son. The only two. And so it's important. And the one thing that Enoch did was walk with God. In fact, Enoch lived in a very wicked day. His life parallels another Lamech that is here in chapter 4. And Lamech turned the world upside down. We saw that last week. He started instituting new standards for marriage. In other words, he introduced polygamy and all kinds of other kinds of things. He started degrading life and devaluing life because he murdered someone. And there was hopelessness and despair that was there because he was part of the Canaanite line that was cast out. And yet under that line, in this hopelessness and despair, they started creating a culture, a godless culture. And they started filling it with memorials because they didn't have eternity. So they built memorials and they built physical comforts into it. They had pleasure and they built in music just to kind of soothe the discouraged and the despairing soul. I want you to go to Jude, the book of Jude, just before the book of Revelation. I want you to see how wicked this culture was that Enoch was living in, and the culture that was happening, even by the time they were right in the middle of this 1651-year period, they are still almost 800 years away from the flood. Society even gets worse after this. But in the book of Jude, no chapter there, it's just one chapter, I want you to look at verse 14. It's talking about Enoch. We have a message from Enoch. It says, in Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these. In other words, he's prophesied of his day. In fact, he's the first prophet in all of Scripture. It says, in Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners had spoken against him. The context of Jude is talking about false teachers and false prophets. Apparently, they were there even here in the pre-flood period. Right in the middle of this 1600-year period, we find Enoch who's preaching against all these false teachers and false prophets that were rising up and they were teaching this godless kind of culture, godless kind of society. And here in the very midst of it is a man, Enoch, and he's walking with God. That means it's possible in a godless culture to walk with God. You know, and just think, it was Enoch when he was 65 years old when he had his first child. Because remember, the average lifespan, you know, those days were, they would go out to 800, 900 years. And so at 65 years, he had his first son, and we'll talk about him, Methuselah. But I don't think, he lived 300 years after that before God took him. I don't think Methuselah was his only son. It's just the only one that's recorded in Scripture. And you can talk about Brother Payne here afterwards about having kids, you know, and multiple kids and all the other things that go on with having a family. And so, you know, you have issues, that pressures that come from, you know, ministering to your godly wife, and then also you have issues that come that ministering to your godly children that aren't always godly all the time. And you have all those pressures that take place and press in on you. And then you have a cultural thing, you know, trying to make sure all the mouths are fed and everybody's dressed and you know, getting there. You know, all the things that goes on with life, Enoch had that even beyond, exponentially beyond anything that any one of us have had. And yet he was able to walk with God. And he was walking in a godless culture that was turning everything upside down. And he's prophesying, and probably they hated him when he prophesied. He said, these are a godless culture, and these prophets are godless, and the things that we see in our culture is godless. And he was standing up against it, and yet he lived godly in the midst of, you know, this is hope, because that means that we, even in our godless culture, it really is godless. We can walk with God. So what does it mean to walk with God? Just a few things. We, if it's important to walk with God, and we saw all the way through the Old Testament into the New Testament how we're to walk, you know, with God and walk in love, walk in, you know, God's grace, we're and all the things, walk in truth. What does it mean? Well, number one, it implies that we have been reconciled to our Heavenly Father. Enoch could not have walked with God unless he had reconciled. Remember, the human race was fallen. And so there was a point in his life where he reconciled with his Heavenly Father, found forgiveness, so he was able to walk with him. In fact, in Amos 3:3, it says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? I mean, if you don't agree and you walk with someone and you're walking arm in arm and you're walking in one direction, you both have to be in agreement to do this for any length of time. And so, you know, here he is. It's supposing that there was harmony, and as a result of this, there was real, genuine reconciliation with his Heavenly Father. And he was pleasing to his Heavenly Father. That also, to be reconciled, that means he put away sin. If you're walking with God, you're not going to walk in sin. I mean, because sin alienates us from God. And if we sin, you know, our prayers are not heard. If we sin, you know, we are out of fellowship with God. I mean, Scripture makes that clear. And so that means not only did he reconcile with the Heavenly Father, but then if as he walked with God and he walked daily, he loved the things that God loved. He hated the things that God hated. And he walked with him and he skewed anything. And if anything came between him and his Heavenly Father, he said, I'm sorry. And he asked for forgiveness and he pled and he continued to walk with him. And so it requires that he put away sin. No one can commune with God without dealing with sin. How many times have we done those, remember those secret things we're talking about? And we kind of backpack in those secret sins and everything. And then we come to church and we say, oh, I'm in fellowship with God. And we smile at everybody. Well, we dress up real good. We all took a shower. We all look good. Did our hair, if you have hair. And yet, are we in fellowship with God? Have we confessed and made known the sins to him and made sure that we're right? This is what Enoch did. This was his walk with him. He reconciled and put away sin. It also suggests that he was morally fit in character. He was made righteous at some point in time because God doesn't walk outside of holiness. Before God walked through the camp of Israel, in the Old Testament, one of the things that you find is that they made sure they put away anything that was defiling out of the camp. So what are the things that are defiling within our camp? If God were to walk in our homes, are there things that are defiling even within our homes that we need to put outside? It says in 1 John chapter 1, it says, if you say that you have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So is there darkness that really needs to be purged away, put away? So it means that we're going to stop going our own way. We're going to start walking with God. We're going to be reconciled with him and keep a short sin list that's there. We're going to be abandoning the world's ways and we're going to be doing God's ways. That's walking with God. That's what he wants. He wants us to be reconciled, put away sin, have this moral character that's there. I think this is the hardest one. Walking means surrendering our will for God's will. We live in a day of my rights I have the right to do this. I should be able to do this. This is my liberty. I have the liberty and freedom to do whatever. No, if we've been bought with a price and we are not our own, I don't know what that means. Then if it's not surrendering to the very thing that God has done. He has delivered us from sin and bondage, and he delivers us unto himself. And one of the greatest things, our reasonable service, is that we present our bodies a living sacrifice unto him, and that we walk with him. It implies a surrendered will. Jesus declared, I delight to do thy will, O God. And that was the very thing that we see with Jesus. That ought to be the very same thing. He asks us to take his yoke upon us, and that means surrendering to his will. It also means that we're going to be walking in communion, continual communion. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, when I'm looking at Enoch, right in verse 22, it says, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Now that is continuing to walk. In other words, he didn't start walking and say, oh, detour, and he goes off for a week or so and then come back. Enoch, when he walked with God, 300 years. You know, they say when a couple are married, you know, they begin to look more and more like each other. In fact, I had this one slideshow that I used to do when I was teaching at New England Baptist College. I did a man and his dog. And I had pictures of the dog, and then I'd show the picture of the master, and it was uncanny how the master looked like their dog. But in reality, the more we walk with someone, the more we're going to take on their habits. We're going to take on their likes. We're going to have mannerisms that are going to be similar. You're going to think the same way. Betty Ann and I, a lot of times, we don't even have conversation. We just look at each other. We know exactly because we've been living 30 years together, 31 years together. It's amazing. Which, you know, there's this communication that goes on. We know the mind. The other day, she was on the phone. And I had, she was texting someone, and I had already written a letter off to the same person. And it was amazing. She was texting the exact same thing I had put in a letter. We hadn't even talked about it. Because, you know, we've walked together for 31 years. We know each other. Well, that's how it ought to be. Can you imagine walking with God 300 years in continual fellowship? That's the kind of relationship that Enoch had. It was a steady walk, and because of it, he pleased God. He put away sin. He walked uprightly. He surrendered his will to do the Father's will. He continually communed with God. And you know what? He was a man just like us, redeemed, once alienated from God. And yet, in Scripture says that he was able to walk with God and to please God. Turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. How did he do it? Well, verse 5, the first two words in verse 5 is by faith. And then the first three words in verse 6 is, but without faith. And he goes on, it is impossible to please him. By faith, you recognize who God is. Notice, it says right in verse 6, he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That means that not only God exists, but he is who he is. He's the all-powerful God. That he is the ruler of the universe and the ruler of your life. That he is. That he is able to provide every need that you might ever even imagine, and even abundantly more than you can ever imagine. He is able to deal with any situation and every situation. And when we walk with him, that he is able in everything. And what happens is we begin to doubt that he is able in everything. It says this abundantly. You know, in Christ, we're all sufficiency in Christ. We have everything we need. It's by grace. And so he believed that God is. And notice he also believed another thing. He says, verse 6, he says, well, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And also, second thing, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you believe that Christ will diligently reward you for walking with him? Do you believe that there's rewards not just in this life, but also in all of eternity, the rewards that are exponentially beyond anything we could ever imagine, the blessings that come by walking with him and pleasing him and being an example for him and being molded more and more into the image of our dear Savior? Do you really believe that there's rewards? Well, the whole purpose here is that he wants us to be more and more conformed into the very image of his dear Son. And part of it, believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, the result of this abiding and this grace was he grew in grace. Over 300 years, he grew in communion. He had grown in the things that God loved, and he grew more and more in the things that God hated. He acknowledged that God was in every part of his life. His testimony, we saw the witness that he had as he prophesied against the world. As he grew more and more close to God, he saw how much more wicked the world was. He probably even saw how much more wicked he was as well. I'll tell you, that's one of the things that's a reality for me as I'm growing more in the Lord, is to see how dark I can still be inside. Some of you know how that is. And even more that God has begun to ferret out of our lives. Enoch lived 65 years and then he had a son. And it says then after 65 years he walked with God. Doesn't say that Enoch walked with God before he had the son. It says that he walked with God after he had the son. And then he walked with God for 300 years. Well, you know, some speculate, you know, was it because when you have a child, you take on this idea of parenthood and you take on more responsibility? It might be it. But I think there was something in the name of the child that he had. He named his child Methuselah. And the name of his child Methuselah means when he is dead, when this child of mine is dead, it shall be sent. When this child of mine is dead, it shall be sent. So we know that Enoch was a prophet of God. He was the first prophet of God, and he prophesied against his generation. But when he had his child, there must have been something that went on. He says, when he is dead, it shall be sent. Well, we know that when Methuselah, and we extrapolate over the years, when Methuselah did die, that was the year of the flood. So apparently he understood something that was going on. So can you imagine if you're Enoch and you have this child, his name is Methuselah, when he is dead, it shall be sent. And all of a sudden, Methuselah comes down with the flu. And he gets really sick. Can you imagine with it? It's going to be sent. It's going to be sent. It's going to come. I mean, and then it gets better. We got more time. We got more time. But can you imagine when you're looking at your child, he's growing up and he's maturing, and every time, oh, he fell. Is he all right? Oh, you know, it just broke his arm, you know. But could you imagine the thought is that when he is dead, something's going to be sent. It's going to be horrible. There's going to be judgment that's going to be sent. In fact, that was his prophecy that he's going to send 10,000 of his angels to judge. No doubt that had a tremendous outlook in his life and changed it, because it says he, from that point on, walked with God. And so after 365 years of living on the planet Earth, it says God took him. In other words, in fact, the term took means to carry across. The idea, what did God carry him across? He carried him across the river of death. He didn't go through the river of death. He was carried across it to the other side. He did not die. He was taken and he was delivered. He's the foretaste of what's going to happen to all those that are believers when the Lord comes and meets his church in the air. Boy, we have a marvelous example here of a man who walked with God. If there's anything that's needed in our day, How many believe that our culture has gotten darker in your lifetime than in the years gone on? I think so. I mean, there's always cycles that happen within culture, but I think our culture is getting darker. I think how many think our government's gotten darker? Okay. How many think the church has grown more apathetic? That means because they're not walking with God. Now, I can't change anybody else. Boy, sometimes I would like to grab them by the shoulder and shake them until they're silly. I can't do that. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But I know that I need to look at myself. Am I walking with God? As our culture and our government and our days seem to get darker, then we ought to grow closer to the God who is, who we believe he is, who is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And if we believe that and we walk by faith and not by sight, I'll tell you what, and we grow closer to him and we eschew any sin that might come in our way, nothing hid, we eschew the sin over here and we say, no, I'm going to walk with my Savior, I'm going to walk with him today and I'm going to be faithful and do it day by day by day. I'll tell you what, the world will see someone who is in sweet communion with God. Will it be you? Ought to be. Boy, if Calvary Baptist Church gets hold of this and we learn to walk with God, it says he walked with God. And in our passage here in Hebrews chapter 11, it says in the last verse of verse 5, the last part of verse 5, he says that he pleased God. May we be a people that as we walk with him, that we please him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the great gift that you've given us here of your Son, Jesus Christ. And then with it comes the imperative commands that we walk with you. And Father, we have a sense of the darkening veil of evil in our day. We see the corruption in our culture, and we can even see it as it gets its tentacles even into our lives and into the lives of your church, your people. Father, I pray that we'll eschew sin and evil, and that we'll rededicate our lives and our pursuit after you, and that we will be a people like Enoch that will walk with you, walk in sweet communion, and that we'll find ourselves reconciled as we ought to be, and that we will be pleasing in all our ways, and we'll do this by faith, knowing that you're in control, you are able in every way to be able to provide all our needs, and that as we do this, that Father, we will be confident of that great reward, which whether here or awaiting for us in all of eternity, that you will So well done, my good and faithful servant. I pray that you move within our congregation. Some need to rededicate their lives. I pray they'll do this. Others need to just say thank you for what you've been doing. Others, there may be someone here who may not know you at all. I pray today that they'll turn and say, Lord, come into my life. I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for sending your dear son, Jesus, to die for me and raised again. I pray this now all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.